So we're here in the sugi over here of gas ruach, and we've seen a whole bunch of different things about gas ruach. I want to focus on one that I guess is kind of relevant before Shavuos. It says, "Amid ve'ab shila afilu kibul teira kimoish rabenu dechsiv be'mimina eish das lomoy lo yinok medina shel gehenim." So it says here that if somebody, even if somebody is mekabel Torah, miyodah shakadosh baruch hu, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, dechsim mimina yishas lomer leinok midina shel gehenim. So, that's interesting. The other ones, it says over here about hikneil hakadosh baruch shemayim va'aretz. Here in Torah it says something about even if you got it miyad from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is still going to lo yinokin in Gehenim. So what's the hadgosh over here of the getting it miyad from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Really, that's the intent of the pasuk. The pasuk says harimos yodol Hashem. It says yad yad lo yinokin. And there is an emphasis on Yad LeYad, and this is what the Chazal say over here, that the emphasis is on the Kol HaBaleish, on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mekil Yashakash Baruch Hu. What's the Havamina, so to speak? What's the Maila of the Kibul Miyarav Shakash Baruch Hu, and why won't it be Yenok Yedin Shlag Hedim? So the Maral says over here, I feel the kibul Torah miyadu shal Moshe, shakash baruch hu Moshe, gam dove ze bor, kima shekibul Torah hu ikam etzias. So the Maral is going with his mahalach, that any time when it says Gehenim, it means non-existence, it means you have no metzias. And therefore, since this is something which is the ultimate metzias, Torah is the ultimate metzias, one would expect it that should at least work for you, so to speak, in terms of having metzias. So he says, "Gam dov ze bor ki mashe ki mashe nashal Torah ikam metzias. Torah is the ikam metzias. Uva be'ayin ze v'uma shomer pechelak le'ivra alma le'moishik idis ha'asam." And then he brings a girsa that it's going on Eishes Ish and the Nakor is that and so on. Okay, so the contradiction between Gaiva and Matan Torah. So the Maral speaks about it in the Siva Torah, and I want to say another knach to it based on what the Maral says here. Generally speaking, the Maral in the Siva Torah, Perik Beis, speaks about the different Chazal that says about how anava is important for Matan Torah. And the Maral says over here that it says loy b'shamayim hi loy b'gasei ruach here, that Torah is not to be found by gasei ruach. So he says she'ein al Torah shaychus klal legas ruach shubal mida gashmis. Any time you have gas ruach, you are taking things and making refined things into something gashmi. So the marshal, Torah itself is supposed to be something extremely refined. It's supposed to be something that is beyond physical things. If you take Torah and make it as a means of to feed you gashmias, so basically what you're doing is you're taking it and turning it into a dove megushim. And that is, you succeed in bringing it down, and that's why you lose the mile of Torah. So anyone who's a gas ruach, the word gas ruach means kipshuto, you take something ruchni and you make it something gas. So if you trade in learning for kavod or for money or for whatever it is, you're basically with biyadayim, you're turning something ruchni into something that is gas, and b'meila you don't have the mile of Torah. And this will help us understand why Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes?
Can someone, through his Torah, I mean, is that what you mean, maybe? But through his limud, make gasus. In other words, he uses his limud like someone who teaches, let's say, for the wrong reasons. Is that a kind of gaser ruach that he uses his melamed Torah in order to, maybe to make of a kabbal or the control, whatever that might mean.
Right.
And also the same category.
Yes, but over there. Over there, the reason that he's using Torah, here it's more than that even. It's just turning himself into something. He's looking at Torah as being a physical entity. It's a thing that gives you covet. So he's being morid, so to speak, to Torah. You're talking about where he's using it for something. It's just to make the use of it as some bit. I think he's saying just the perception of it, the tfis of it as something physical, and not ruchni, is going to destroy the content of Torah. I think that's what he, and the truth is, any time if a person reads Torah as literature, for its literary quality, it's not Torah. So if a person learns Torah as something to give you kavod, that's not Torah, because Torah itself is something that's not translatable into something physical. So your the big circle in which you box Torah into is a physical entity. That's what he says, and that's what he speaks about. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, who gave the Torah, was honored mikol adam. I'd like to focus on the Chazal that he brings over here and try to understand another nekuda with it. It's in Nesiv HaTorah, Nesiv Beis. Amar Rav Chanina Ba'idi. Water goes makom gavoa to makom namuch. So two Torahs is miskayim al b'misha daita shvela. In other words, if you read the full sense of the pasuk says, "Hoy kol tzam l'chulamayim." Anyone who's thirsting for ruchnius should go to drink water. Water is Torah, but Torah is water only if it goes from a high part to a low part. If it doesn't, then if it's not going from high to low, it's lacking in what water is. Water is the fluid that moves most quickly from top to bottom. So that's why water is described in terms of going from top to bottom, and that's what Torah is. If a person isn't treated that way, he doesn't really have Torah. That is the understanding that he gives over here. That's the Chazal. I'd like to understand this mashal of going from a high to a low place. We're looking for some sort of description. We're expecting the Torah to describe something in a tsura of another. So I can understand l'mashal the Chazal about Sinai, it's low, to tell you have to be anav. But this is a whole different description. It's something high going to something low. What's the fullness of this mashal over here? So I want to explain it as follows. The chibur of elyon to tachtoin, in other words, a flow is realized when you have a relationship of a mashpia to a makabel. That's the where a flow is established. If the two elements are on par with each other, or the bottom one is not open, it's not chaser, there's not going to be a flow. In order to have a real flow, you need to have two conditions: a clear position of mashpia mekabel, and a declaration, so to speak, quote unquote, by the makabel that they're a makabel, that they're lacking and they're a makabel. If you have that, then not only do you have water, but you have a flow. You have a chibur between the two, because that's the natural flow in the bria on a physical level when you have higher and lower, and on a ruchnistic level we're talking about something like this. Torah itself, if it is a cut off entity from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you got it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then you move on with it, it no longer has the skula of being of all the inyanim that Torah is meant to have a skula for. The inyanim of Torah that are a chibur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not possible. So you have the information, the knowledge, but you don't have this chibur from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the person. So Torah can come in two ways. Torah can come as a package, not different than any other science. If I teach somebody math, the person may have been totally ignorant before I taught him. I now teach it to him, and the person understands it marvelously. But that's it. The person could understand it as good as me, and better than me, and he's off and about, and that's it. In Torah, to be able to be shayach to Torah, which is Ein Sof, the quality of Torah that allows it to be Torah's Hashem is that it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma. And the only time I can say about this Chachma that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's is if it's unbounded, if it's not something that is limited. Anytime I've limited something and I said this is it and not more, I'm already automatically taking away the quality of being Torah Hashem. Because Torah Hashem can't be 10 psukim, 100 psukim, a million psukim. Can't be one sefer, two sefer, 100 sefer. It can't be. The only way in which Torah Hashem is if it is an endless stream of chachma. The tfisa of which something is shayach to an endless stream is through that. That tfisa can only be realized if the person puts himself vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that form of gavoah, a nomach to gavoah, and a chaser. So if I position myself as the one at the receiving end, then the flow can be continuous. Then I can say that what I have is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. The minute I take note of my full cup or even half full cup, then I automatically have turned Torah into something packaged, and it's the longest Torah is Hashem. It's an incredible paradox. As long as my sense of it and my description of it is I am a chaser and I am positioning myself to keep receiving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I am attached to the Ein Sof. Masha Ein Kein, if I move away and I sense what I have, then what I have is no longer connected, and that automatically loses that Mitzvah Hashem. I think what he says, what Chazal say over here.
Yes. Well, I don't understand. What does it look like? What does that look like? Someone who's connected to Ein Sof. What does it look like? It's worth.
Okay. Let's.
In a real way?
Good. A person who has the curiosity of wanting to understand, because just like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ebenezer says it in such powerful Lashon, Avinezer says, ask, people ask, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do there 40 days and 40 nights? And he says, those idiots don't know that even if it was 1,000 times 1,000, he still wouldn't have touched a drop. And he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his years, of his 120 years, he says, Ata hachaloso laharis lavdecha, you have just begun to show your servant. In other words, if a person recognizes, usually, you know, any time we study something, we tend to get to a point where we feel, okay, we're capable, that's it. We've defined something, we have it, and, you know, and that's it. My best muscle for practice, Reb Chaim Brisker and the Brisker Rav, did not write their sefer, not publish their sefer till the end of their lives. In other words, as long as I can still ponder it, I don't think I've gotten to the point of it. It's only when I'm finished that I can say, okay, this is as far as I've gotten. That's a tremendous. It doesn't allow for any gaiva, because the person sits and thinks to himself, you know, yes, I now understand this, and I'm missing still. Whatever I have down creates another void of what I'm missing. So my tshuka for learning is not different when I'm 50 than 15, and 90 than I'm 50. I still have the tshuka because I feel there's more to be gotten here. There's more to be understood. So it's nogea in terms of the curiosity a person has, the endless sense. Just like, let's take an example, a scientist. So you have a scientist that takes the latest things that they've discovered, feels very smug about it, packages it, and says, oh, this is what we know, we now understand the world, and so on and so forth. Genetics, we now know the code genetics. One second. But that opens up a whole new world of questions. And so I don't feel the smugness of what I know, because for everything that I know, I now understand there are things more behind it. It reflects itself in a person's ongoing thirst for knowledge. The word thirst is really good. It reflects itself on a person's sense of self. How smug is a person with what he knows? So I don't have to fool myself. I can say I know more than Reuven, but so what? It's just like, imagine a person is struggling to learn Gemara and really can't read the words and needs to ask, and someone else knows how to read the Gemara, and he sees in him, wow, this is like the Moshe Rabbeinu of Al-Dor. He reads the Gemara so fluent, isn't that? But this person knows, every time he learns the Gemara, he comes up with all the issues and the problems and the kashas and so on. and he feels, he doesn't even think about the fact that he can read the Gemara and know the words. He says to himself, but I really don't know the sugya, because he's uncovered so much more that needs to be answered. And a person delves into Pnimius of Torah and says, there's a whole huge world. This is the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more underneath it. So that type of approach, that type of perspective, A, makes you as thirsty for learning, no matter how far you've gone on, because you recognize there is much more behind it. And it also gives you no cause to be so smug about what you do know. Say, yes, I know. And therefore, but compared to what I don't know. What's real another is not when a person doesn't think he knows the Gemara, you know, to read the words when he knows how to read the words. That's nonsense. That's A, it's idiocy. And B, it's not going to give the person much. It's not giving the person what he needs emotionally. The person says, yeah, I know the Gemara now. Okay, now I can start trying to understand what are they arguing. And then let me try to understand how Gedolei Rishonim understood it. Let me try to understand what the svaras behind those shitas are, and so on. That's where it comes into play, Lamaisa. We cannot be mezbonin on the Ein Sof. That's nonsense. That's a type of stuff that you need to smoke on something to be able to think about it. Our hezbonus in Ein Sof is okay, and now what? Somebody described to me here, he's a physicist, young fellow, you know, kind of upcoming, works on black holes for NASA, and from guy, and he said, you know, they say we used to think that before modern physics, we thought that the planets move because angels push them around. He said, we now realize that that's not true. Angels pull them around. In other words, at the end of the day, there's always another angel lurking behind something. So I've mapped out gravity in a certain way, this in a certain way, that in a certain way. Okay, but now a whole new world is opening up that I need to understand that world. So the Ein Sof of HaKadosh Baruch Hu translates itself into our Anava, because no matter how much Yesh we are, we're Ayin in Klapa, the real picture, and that's the key to, and therefore the person is thirsty. Chazal give a mashal, just like fish, whenever it rains, they jump up to catch the drop that comes. So too, Talmid Chachamim jump up to catch that drop, so to speak. Every time there's a Dvar Torah, they jump for it, because a person who's very wealthy, a person who's fabulously wealthy, is not going to stoop down to pick up a $10 bill. You know, he's a multi-billionaire, and you know, let it lie on the floor. But so if a person's sense of chachma is that he has a lot and he feels very smug about what he has, then he's not going to really care to be misponing more. That's the nature of these things. The person is going to the person is going to feel okay. I Baruch Hashem, I know so much. I don't need to know more. But for the person who's always open mouth, he's waiting to see the beyond that goes beyond this. That person doesn't know Sviya. So I think the Yad LeYad mashal is a very strong play on the word Yad LeYad, because when I give you something, so the minute at the time that I'm giving you something, you are holding on to it, and there's a connection. So when I give you a gift, and you have those, you ever see in those like when you have these testimonial dinners, and the person presenting the plaque and the person getting the plaque are holding the plaque together, and they're being photographed. You know, so and so presenting this and this award to so and so. So that picture, that tzura of it, is you know, that's a certain picture. Now, once I take it from the other person's hand, then it's history. Yes, it's my painting, it's my award. You gave it to me. So Yad LeYad is an act that while you're giving it, there's a connection there, and I see that it's coming from somewhere. But when I've taken away the Yad LeYad, then it was. Just like the mashal I gave it with a math teacher. Someone could teach me really difficult math, and then while he's teaching me, I really keep telling him, you know, I never know how I would do it without you. This is really amazing. But once I know it, I know it. And I walk around saying, I know it. And I'll mention a little blurb, and I great thanks to my teacher so-and-so. But it's not an ongoing hemshich. So that's the mashal of the word miyad liyad. Nesinas HaTorah is the appropriate way for Torah is Makom Gavoah, Makom Namuch. I establish a flow. In other words, I know that there's a constant, as I'm rethinking and thinking again about the sugya, or then more of it is being teased out. More of it is being mushpa to me. And that's a very, very different picture than the giving. In other words, if Gehenim is a certain nituk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if one time I was very close and it was a b'china of yad liyad, but that closeness is not made on later. Yes, when you gave me something and there was a moment of time when we were holding yad liyad, so that's a wonderful chibur. But when I've taken it away, as I have it and you no longer have it, the chibur weakens. So if somebody got it, if somebody is a gas ruach and he got it and he got Torah yad liyad, but lemaisa he is eligible for dinah shel gehenim because tachlis he's no longer mechuba lakodesh. A person who makes himself like an anav takadosh baruch hu, where he puts himself down as a makabel takadosh baruch hu, where he establishes the flow, which is mokum gavur to mokum namuch, that person makes himself into a makabel. The whole maimer har sinai, Rosh Hashanah came on a mountain to give it to us. A human being needs a mountain as a platform. So if I want to be heard by all the populace, I need to stand on a tall place and say, hear ye, this is me. I am now telling you what's good, what's right, what you should do, etc. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have broadcast loud and clear from the midst of the machna. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went onto a har means that he established a Mokum Gavur and a Mokum Nomuch to call Yisrael. That was the Maimon HaSinai. And to keep that mile of Torah, which means a person is Mechuber LaKodesh, a person needs to have that constantly. Okay, any points, any questions? And by the way, water, I just want to add to the mashal over here. You know, he brings water, milk, wine. Water is, of all the fluids that are common to us, water's viscosity is the lowest. It doesn't snag, it doesn't bunch up or dry out. And the reason for it is because water has really no metzias of its own. You know, water is clear, it flows freely. When you have wine and milk, and certainly something like honey, you have a lot of self. You have a lot of material in the fluid, and therefore the fluid is slow. It bunches up. It stops. It's all part of that same inyan, that when the more ruchni something is, the less it has self, and the more the flow is. The key for Torah being a davar ruchni is that I perceive it in the way one perceives Zvarim Ruchniyim. Okay, so a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. I guess next week will be Shavuos Emet Hashem. So in Bez Hashem in 2 weeks?
2 weeks, even though it's not Shavuos for us, but what can we do?
Well, I forgot that piece over there. Okay, I it's also Mitzvah Hashem, it's my mother's yahrzeit. This will be the first yahrzeit, will be that the second day Shavuos in Mitzvah Hashem. Okay.
So it's Tovas.
Good. Call Tov. Chag Kosher V'Sameach, everybody. Call Tov. Shabbos.
Bye.